Welcome to one of the most listened to music news podcasts in the world, SGNP, with your host, Darren Sutherland. Join us as we talk with industry leaders, artists, and entertainers about their faith, family, and careers. This is information you will not find anywhere else on radio, web, or in a magazine, but only firsthand on SGNP.
We were the first company to ever create our own digital download store. And people told us we were crazy at the time to try to do that. I heard people in the business said, you just put yourself out of business when you launch that store because you can't go from a $15 retail piece to a 99-cent piece. And I said, well, you may be right, but if we don't make this change now, we will be out of business.
And welcome back once again to SGNP, the audible and social media voice of Southern Gospel Music. Darren Sutherland, and as always, my co-host up in Sevierville, Tennessee, a.k.a. Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, or whatever you want to call it, up there right at the foothills of the Smokies, Arthur Rice. Arthur, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, doing good. Doing good. Enjoying this beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day. You're off work today, huh?
I am.
Must be nice. But you know what? You got a great job anyway. And you know, I learned a long time ago, anytime you love what you're doing, it doesn't seem like work to begin with, does it?
Nope.
You know, that one fellow that one time made a comment on our Facebook, and I'm going to segue this way in just a second, so I'm going to bring this up. Said it, every time he goes to Dollywood, Kingdom Airs aren't there. They only work 3 hours a day. Anyway, hey, Arthur, guess what? Our Facebook page is growing like crazy. We're about 300 shy of 9,000 members, and we started that April the 6th. So you can go to our Facebook and join us. And we've got some great things out there on Facebook. Like on Mondays, we always give away some kind of goodies, like Matt Fouch's CD or Taranda's CD or somebody a CD from Day Wind. Or we're going to get Chris White, I'm sure, will give us some CDs, our guest today, a giveaway. So we'll always give away a CD on Monday. On Tuesdays, we do Tough Question Tuesday. And right now on our Tough Question Tuesday this past week, we've had over 500 responses, and that's what your favorite song is. And you had to pick between one of these six. You ready, Arthur? I'm going to put you on the spot and let you pick. You ready?
Okay.
What's the most timeless gospel song? Okay. Your buddy, Squire Parsons' Beulah Land. Your buddy, Ronnie Henson's The Lighthouse. Your buddy, Chuck Day's Midnight Cry. Your friend, Tracy Dart's God on the Mountain. Gerald Krabs, Through the Fire, or Aaron Wilburn's 4 Days Late, or last but not least, Bill Gaither's Because He Lives. What? You got to pick one. You can't pick two or three. Which one are you picking, Arthur?
Well, you know, Squires is huge. Beulah Land's always huge, and everybody, just about everybody, knows The Lighthouse.
Yeah,
but Because He Lives is in the songbook.
You're right.
So you got to almost, you almost have to go with Because He Lives. Wow. Just about everybody has sung that.
All right. Tough Question Tuesday the week before. This was our first Tough Question Tuesday. You've got the opportunity to go to one concert of groups of the past that are retired or gone on to glory. Who do you go see, the Cathedrals or the Happy Goodmans?
Happy Goodmans.
Bingo. Wow. See, we have fun like that. Then we always do our audible post on Wednesday. Gives you some good insight of what's coming on. And then Deep Question Thursday. It's always a industry question on what fans think. Friday's our release date. Saturdays, Southern Fried Saturdays. We always talk about food on Saturdays because what do we do on Sundays? We eat. And then hometown check-in. And then Sundays we post a fun song. And we posted one from the Down East Boys this week, My Dear Old Bible. Great, great new song from those guys. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
You can check in on our Instagram, our website, our Twitter, and it's easy enough. Our Arthur, guess what? We've got a new phone number people can call and leave a message on. You ready for this? So you can call up and you can say, Darren, I like what you're doing. Arthur, I like what you're doing. Arthur, I love you, but I don't like you, Darren. Or if you want us to cover somebody or do something, we'll be happy to. 615-763-3862. 615-763-3862. Arthur, we'll rush right into it because we got a lot to cover today. First off today, we're interviewing your friend. He's been your friend for a long, long time. And in my interview with him, it was very fun to get to know him and talk to him a little bit on and off. I talked to him live and off camera. You say camera, off microphone before, but Chris White.
First class.
Crossroads Media and Management and Horizon and Sunlight Record President and Mountain Home Gospel and just a good guy. Good guy. And, you know, we talk about changing the industry with Chris, and he talks about a lot of the changes and things that you guys are going through. But, Arthur, what's some of the changes that you've seen just in the past 4 years, 4 or 5 years?
Oh, wow. You know, it's got to be social media is number one. We've talked about it before. It has to be. It's becoming so mainstream for everything. And it has to be the number one thing. And we've got to figure out a way to make it our friend, you know.
Yep.
Really do. We got to embrace it.
In this interview, Chris talks about that. And he talks about how that social media works. We're always trying here to improve our social media because our podcast relies on our social media. You can go to our Facebook page any day of the week, Southern Gospel News Podcast. Check in with us and check what's going on. I see you on there from time to time making comments and likes and stuff like that. And it's amazing to see the people around the country having an open voice to talk about the music they love. That's not always been a possible, you know?
Yeah, it really is, and I love the fact that people post all this stuff. It just makes it so readily available to especially the older stuff that's you know not available.
Right.
Some of the collectors that have this stuff and you know they make that available and I love it. It really is great.
I will tell you a little secret that Chris mentioned, but I didn't take any credit for it, okay? Chris said he looked at, I think it was either, this was offline we were talking, and he said he looked at the Spotify or Pandora numbers and noticed for the Kingdom Heirs they were up, meaning people are listening to y'all online. And
yeah.
I thought to myself, wonder how much credit we can give Southern Gospel News Podcast for Arthur being such a great co-host and being a part of that. So many people want to hear the man sing because the man can sing. And Arthur, you've been so gracious to be our co-host, and I don't thank you enough because you are a busy guy. I mean, you work in the recording studio. You've got a wife you've got to take care of, kids. You sing at Dollywood 5-6 days a week, whatever it takes, 3 concerts a day. And then you're also the president of the SGMA, which takes a little bit of time. I bet your phone rings a pretty good amount about that, too, don't you?
A little bit. After hearing all that, I think I need a vacation.
Well, you know what? We're going to come back after the interview with Chris White today, and we're going to talk about your vacation, the vacation you get to take next week at the National Quartet Convention up in Sevierville, Pigeon Forge area. Next week, right there. Easy enough, Arthur. We'll be right back. All right, my friend?
All right.
Here we go. Here's our little interview with Chris White. I think you'll like it. Then we'll get some information on the history of the recording industry from Jeff Turner. You're listening to SGNP.
This is Josh Singletary with Tribute Quartet, and you're listening to SGNP.
SGNP. We're reaching all across the world now. I was looking at our download numbers the other day, and Norway, Sweden, Finland, over 2,000 people in the month of September have listened to us in Ireland. And who makes that possible? MyPillow. That's right, MyPillow. And right now, MyPillow's got a great offer for you. It's buy one, get one free when you use the code SGNP. Man, don't that sound good? Buy one, get one free when you use the code SGNP. Call them today, 1-800-544-8939. 1-800-544-8939. Tell them the code SGNP. Get buy one, get one free on their premium pillows. It's that simple. Thank MyPillow when you're calling for supporting gospel music and SGNP.
Hey, cousins, this is your pal, Country Radio Hall of Fame DJ Moby, and you're listening to my buddy Darren Sutherland on SGNP. Yeah, baby.
And on the Carriage Automotive Group line with us today from up in his home of Knoxville, Tennessee, and he's president, Crossroad. Chris, I'll let you say it, man, because I'm going to mess it up again, buddy, and I want you just to say it. Well, we got Chris White on the line, president of Sunlight Records and the head of, and Chris, tell everybody what you're head of, my friend.
All right. I'm good to be with you, Darren, by the way.
Thank you, buddy.
And
I appreciate it.
I'm president of Sunlight Records. I'm an executive officer in Crossroads Entertainment Marketing, one of the principal owners since its inception. So that's pretty much the world I live in. And again, just glad to be with you guys and talk some music today.
Man, I appreciate it, Chris. And, you know, some of our most listened to episodes on this podcast are from people that are behind the scenes and has such a tremendous impact on the business. Folks like Maurice Templeton, Ed Leonard, Becky Simmons, and now you today. Chris, I mean, I look at your roster of artists, both legacy artists that you've worked with in the past and current artists that you work with now. And, I mean, we're looking at names like the Kingdom Heirs, the Inspirations, the McCamies, the Tallies, you know, folks you've worked with in the past, Palmetto State, you know, the Isaacs, Karen Peck and New River, new artists.
Hopper.
Yeah, the Hoppers, new artists coming along like the Jordan Family Band. The question is, Chris, is there anybody you hadn't worked with? I mean, the Kingsmen, the list can go on and on. Mark Bishop, the list can go on and on. Is there anybody you hadn't worked with, my friend? Because it seems like you've had your hand a little bit in everything through the years.
You know, Darren, it's funny you asked that because I was asked to do a bio not long ago because I don't expose myself to internet and et cetera a whole lot. I'm certainly more of a private type person from that regard. But when I was asked to do that bio, I started looking, and one of the questions was all the artists that I have worked with through my years, and I was amazed myself at how many major artists throughout my tenure of 33 years now that I have worked with in some capacity, whether that be in label business, publishing business, video production. There's hardly anybody that's come through our gates in this industry that I haven't worked with in some form or fashion through the years. So I've been extremely blessed to do that, and certainly count all of the guys and gals in our business day, not just business relationships, but very personal relationships.
Chris, let's go back a little bit and talk about how Chris White started. I think in our pre-conference before this interview, you said you've been in it since you were a kid, basically. And
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that and how you got involved in all that fun stuff.
Well, I was raised in the church, obviously. My dad was a pastor, and I started singing in my first group at 9 years old. Made my first television appearance at 9 with the Mall Sing Convention in Knoxville, Tennessee. And it just grew from there. Now, I strayed the path like a lot of people for a lot of years, but one day I finally got tired of running from God. He got tired of chasing me, I guess. So I finally quit running and submitted my life back to him. And when I did that, I jumped back into the music business. I had a quartet myself that I traveled with for 7 years full-time on the road, a group back in that day called the Songmen. And as time progressed, I was really attracted to the production side of the business. And at that point, which was about 1986, I decided to jump into production. I already built a couple of studios. And so to do the production and leave the road behind, and that's kind of where it all really took off for me. I moved to Nashville and partnered with Kevin Manis in the first studio that I was ever an owner of, which was Oak Valley Studios. Kevin and I built that and opened it, and we relit it. It had gone dark. It was a Henry Slaughter studio, and it had gone dark, and so we relit it in 1987. But when I went there, Darren, I went just to produce records. I didn't ever really mean to do anything in the label business. We were just going to have a studio produce. But a year before that, something happened that set the tone of what would happen for the rest of my life, and that was when I produced a record for a local group called Cedar Ridge that nobody had ever heard of. And when we got the record done and they wanted to go to Nashville and do it, so we did. And Kevin happened to be the engineer that I hired because I'd worked him previously in when I was with Windchime Records back in the day. So I hired Kevin to do it, and Kirk Talley worked with us on that production as well. And when the record was finished, they said, we would like to put a radio single out and put it on a label. And I said, well, guys, I don't know anything about any of that, you know. So anyway, they kept asking me about it, and I said, okay, let me look into it and see what I can figure out. So I did. And I said, there's a little label I've got that nobody's ever heard of. It doesn't mean anything, but you had to have some kind of label to send out a 45 single
right
to radio. So I said, it's a little record label that's called Sunlight Records, but it won't mean anything to anybody. So they said, great. We put that label on their first 45. There's a Rocking Chair in Heaven. And we shipped it to radio. I found out how to manufacture 45s and then get a radio list and send it to radio. That's how it all started in 1986. And lo and behold, that record didn't go to number 21 in the country.
Wow.
And I had no clue what I was doing. I mean, absolutely no clue. So a year or so after that, Tina Mears called and said, well, if you can do it for them, you can do it for us. And at that time, I was in Nashville already, having opened Oak Valley. And I said, guys, I don't even know what I did. So to do it again, I've got to figure out what I did the first time. But I said, we'll give it a shot and see what happens. So we did exactly the same thing, cut the record, pulled a single, shipped it to that radio list, hired a little girl named Sonia Goff to help promote it to radio. And next thing I knew, we had the number two song in the country with Test of Time.
Wow.
And from that point, Darren, it was off to the race. And I mean, my phone lit up. Because here was a label nobody ever heard of, and it released two singles, and both of them hit the top of the chart.
Chris,
so it was a God thing. It was not a plan I had. It's not anything that I'd mapped out. It's simply a God thing that was what He had ordained my life to be, and I didn't know it. But as the doors opened, I tried to walk through them, and here we are today.
Chris, I like how you segued that that's a God thing and how God put it in there, because I was going to paraphrase a scripture and ask you this question right here. Our steps in life are anointed, and God pushes us in a direction. You started in 86. What were you doing before 86 that helped you? You said you were even away from the Lord, and I believe a lot of times, even when we're away from the Lord, we learn things that help us as we're pushing through. What was you in? I mean, I'm not asking you what you did wrong. I'm asking you what you did in business. What'd you do in life that prepared you for the record business, do you think, and helped you being the publishing and all that kind of good stuff?
Well, honestly, Darren, I can't talk about that, because if I do, then I'm going to go to jail. So I seriously was way off track.
Okay.
And I was dabbling in a lot of stuff, and I'm not going to get very personal about that, but I was off track. But I'll tell you a little story, and I don't know how much time we've got.
We got as much as you need.
Whatever you want. This is how it all ended for me and began. It ended and began at the same time.
Yeah.
I was living in Memphis, Tennessee at the time that I was really off the rails, and I noticed a bus that kept coming into a condo across the street from where I live, and I would see these guys loading the bus with boxes, and I'm sitting on my front porch one day and watching this, and I thought, I'm curious, I've got to see what these guys are about. And I walked across the street and I said, what are you guys doing? I see this bus coming here every now and then putting boxes in and whatever, and they said, well, we're a gospel music group. I said, oh, well, that rung my bell, because I started when I was 9 years old in gospel music. So I said, well, who are you? And they said, London, Paris, and the Apostles.
Wow.
I went, wow. At that point, now I had been running hard, God, for at least the last two or three years at that point. That day, it really come home to me that, you know what, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of living this life. If I don't stop it, I'm going to be dead anyway. So I got down on my knees in my kitchen that night, and I prayed to God, because I knew what was happening. I knew exactly what was happening, that He was shaking me faster than I could run. And that was the tipping point to find out that, you know, it was like a message that this is what you need to be doing. This is what you know that you could do.
Yeah.
So when I got down on my knees that night, I mean, it must have been a couple hours in my kitchen that I just begged and begged God, and He heard my plea. I got up off my knees saved.
Wow.
And called my brother in Maryville, Tennessee, and said, man, I'm coming home. Can we start a quartet? And
that must have been some more phone conversation, my friend.
That
Well, his exact words to me, Darren, was, "There's no way I'd step on stage with you living the life you live." And I said, "Well, brother, I got all that fixed tonight. I'm on my way home tomorrow."
Awesome. You know what, Chris? I wrote something on Facebook yesterday. I do a thought for them, and it kind of echoes what you're saying. You know, yesterday, we're doing this interview on September 12th, 2018, one day after 9/11. You know, we've all faced our personal 9/11s, you know? And that sounds to me like that was your personal 9/11, where the walls came down, the towers came down, and the healing and forgiveness began. And
it was. That's a good way to describe it, Darren. That's exactly what happened.
That is awesome. So we all go through that, no matter who we are, no matter if we're the president of the United States or we're the local guy that just works for the county. We all have a personal 9/11 story. Chris, we said at the outset of the interview before we were going to talk about change. 1986, I graduated, I'm 48 years old, so we're talking roughly, I guess, what, 33
years? I'm starting my 33rd year as Sunlight Records.
33 years of Sunlight Records, okay? And the reason I was saying that is because I graduated high school in 1987, so I'm trying to put a timeline that always helps me. 33 years. What's the biggest change? If somebody says the biggest change, there's been a ton of change. What's the biggest change you've seen in the record?
Oh, you're so right. There's so many answers to that question. I'm going to say the biggest change that we've had to adjust to through the years, and certainly right now, is the way that music is delivered to the consumer. There are a lot of things that stay consistent, you know, the suit and the tie or whatever. The biggest change to me that I've experienced now, probably four or five changes, is the delivery system. Because I go back to the days of vinyl and 8-tracks.
Right.
Now the hottest, biggest, newest thing, obviously, is the streaming world.
Mm-hmm.
So I even asked that question last week to folks, what's next after streaming? And we all kind of concluded that maybe this is it. Whether it is or not, I don't know. Well, we thought CDs might be the final delivery system. Obviously, that's not working out to be the truth. And streaming may or may not be, but for the moment, that is the fastest growing delivery system that we have. So I would say that's a big change.
Yeah, you know, we see the change in it. But folks, you know, it's funny to me that our crowd, let's just be honest, the majority of our crowd, and we've had more than one person say this, if you look at the demo of Southern Gospel music, it's folks 50 and above, okay? Now, we have some great young folks coming along. A lot of young folks love the music. A lot of middle-aged folks love the music. But if you go to concerts, let's just face it, the majority of the folks are older. They love the CDs. How is Crossroads and Sunlight, how are you seeing those folks adapt to the streaming portals? We've got no problem. I mean, we're in a new portal right here in a podcast. I mean, if somebody would have told you 10 years ago, you'd be doing an interview on a podcast that would be heard on an Alexa machine sitting in somebody's house, you would have said, "What? What is that? We have no idea what that is." You know, and they're talking about putting these Alexas in every new car next year. So when Chris White drives down the road in his new truck, he can say, "Alexa, play Southern Gospel News podcast," and it'll play it. How are you guys in the record side of the business seeing the over 50 crowd adapt to the stuff? Are they still wanting the CDs and the numbers? And just what's your y'all's thoughts on that?
Well, let me kind of put it this way. Okay. We as a company we've always tried to have a motto of let's create the curve instead of being behind the curve.
Great.
And that's what we've tried to do, because if you go back a few years, we were the first company to ever create our own digital download store. And people told us we were crazy at the time to try to do that. I heard many people in the business said, "You just put yourself out of business when you launch that store, because you can't go from a $15 retail piece to a 99-cent piece." And I said, "Well, you may be right, but if we don't make this change now, we will be out of business, because the digital world is going to take us by storm." Well, what happened, Darren?
Yeah.
The little world took us by storm.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting there ready and waiting for it long before anyone else thought about it. That's the mentality we try to work with and have for years. We're having the same mentality on the streaming. I'm going to guarantee, and I'll guarantee your audience, that if you ask me this question 5 years, well, you won't ask me this question 5 years from now,
mm-hmm.
because you're going to see our demographic change with this time and change with this delivery system, to the point that we are sort of like everybody
everybody else. Do we have a demographic that's going to hang onto the CD longer? Absolutely. And good for us that we do.
Yeah.
But there's other genres of demographics that are doing the same thing. Country music is still strong in CDs.
Yeah.
Or decline. Yes, yes. Everyone's seeing decline in physical and digital download sales. That's no secret. But music in general was up over 9% last year. In 2017, music sales were up for the first time in forever. And what drove that, or music income streams, and what drove that in part was the new streaming delivery system. I think that as our demographic gets accustomed to it, they will partake like everybody else. Because I certainly remember the day when people screamed bloody murder that we were going to CDs and leaving the great standard set. You remember that?
Yep, I remember it. I remember it, no doubt.
And all we're doing is reliving that same era right now. If people are going to kick and scream against streaming, they're wasting their energy because it's not going to be stopped.
You know, when we talk about change, changes in industry, changes delivery, changes the brand, change how you get yourself out there. I look at one of the new groups you guys work with that basically, if we were talking about traditional gospel music and fitting in that mold of an NQC type crowd or something like that, maybe they're not there yet, but they're reaching outside the box through social media and promoting themselves in such a way that it showed up in our rankings. On our website, we do a gospel music social media ranking where we take their Facebook followings, their downloads on their page, their Twitter page, their Instagram. And the group I'm talking about is the Jordan Family Band, okay, who recently had Billboard's number one gospel music album, okay? Now, chances are, if you're a Cathedrals fan, if you're a Palmetto State fan, Hoppers, you may have never heard of the Jordan Family Band, Chris, because they're not in the typical mainstream of what, you know, the Gold Cities, the Kingsmen, that sort of thing. But they're selling a ton of product. How is social media evolving to affect the record side with folks like Jordan Family? Because, see, I think it's great. I think it's awesome because they're taking the music to a generation of folks. It's kind of like this right here, and I'll use this analogy. Back in the day when you might not have been living for the Lord, you may have been out shooting pool somewhere. But if somebody had walked in where you were shooting pool and they would have said, "How many of you like gospel music?" you may have raised your hand. You follow what I'm saying? They're taking that music to an audience that through social media. How is social media changing it all for us, Chris?
Well, it's everything, Darren. And, I mean, if you could just live in our building, in our corporate office for a day or a week, you would see the emphasis that we have on all of the art to make social media the train that it is. Randa Jordan has absolutely knocked it out of the park. She has found a way to communicate people through social media like very few artists ever accomplish. And you're right, it has paid off for them. And our daily, not weekly, but daily conversation with these artists is social media is social media. You've got to learn how to use it. And that's the other part, Darren, is learning how to use it, because it can be used very incorrectly.
Yeah.
So if you're not using it correctly, you're spinning your wheels. So a lot of what we try to teach is how to do that correctly. Now, we have younger guys in the business. I'm not one of them.
Yeah.
I'm way on down the road. That's why we have so many young people in our company that live and breathe this day in and day out, because they have to. We have to, as a company, be on the cutting edge of how to use these new tools that are making a tremendous difference in our business and in the awareness and discovery of new artists. And I'll give you another example of you haven't asked the question, but I'll give you this example because it kind of does tie in.
Yeah.
When you see artists that are successful with social media, you will see all phases of their artistry increase.
Yeah.
Sales increase, awareness increase, discovery increases. Everything increases because they're taking a tool and they're correctly using it to affect the marketplace. And those artists that don't do that are going to absolutely be left behind.
You know, I'm amazed at some of the artists that you would think aren't social media active like you think they should be, but they'll blow your mind. Like, I'll give one of your artists some great credit. Eli Fortner, and you know Eli,
yeah.
doesn't yeah. he's not a young man of a lot of words, okay? But we interviewed him a while back and was at a concert with him, and he was so inquisitive over the social media and the tools and the cameras and the mics and everything that we were using and how we were getting things out. And it's folks like that that's going to help their groups and their brands get to the next level and move on. But you're right about
that. And thank goodness for Eli doing that, because he understands.
Yeah.
Now, Peg, and I love her to death, have for years.
Yeah.
So they've been with us forever. Peg's like me.
Yeah.
She's way off down the road.
Yeah.
Peg and Rook are down the road. Eli, he's aware.
Yeah.
Of what the new world's like. And he is going to focus on that more than Peg and Reuben. And that's a good thing for the McCain. And I parallel that to myself. It's a good thing we have all these young people in our company that love digging into this day in and day out. Because we have to. We have to sustain and grow our success.
You mentioned,
and so does everybody.
Yeah, no doubt. You mentioned before we went on the air, and you mentioned Maurice Temple, and we were talking about him before we went on the air. Maurice, such a giant in this industry. I don't think people that love gospel music give him enough credit for what brought this industry to and how we miss him and his wisdom here to this day. What did Maurice mean to you, Chris?
Oh, man, you don't have enough time for that, Darren. Maurice, definitely, he's been my second father. We still talk every month. We had such a close relationship. We had a very unique relationship. And Jerry Kirksey was the same way, in that we were best friends. Jerry and I were like brothers. Maurice and I were like father and son, and still are. But we knew how to separate the business from personal.
Yeah.
And just because we loved each other and respect what each other represented in our business, we knew how to separate that, and we did a good job of doing that. But Maurice Templeton was just, like I said, he was not only for me, he was the undergirding for so many artists in this business that had it not been for him, some of them would not have survived.
That's what I've heard.
I can tell you that as fact, that I've seen Maurice take money out of his pocket many times over the years to give to somebody to get them over the hump, and that little getting them over the hump helped them survive to continue in the business. He was a giver. He was the definition of giver for so many facets of this business. And I had a business relationship with him when we brought the Reach Satellite Network.
Mm-hmm.
Maurice and I flew to Sacramento, California. It took me about 6 months to talk him into this idea, because, and this is another spinoff to what you're talking about, Darren, this idea of satellite radio in that day was a foreign subject, you know, and it took me months to convince Maurice that this could be a future of radio delivery. So finally, we flew to Sacramento, California, where two guys had started this network called Reach Solid Gospel, which today is now Singing News Radio,
mm-hmm.
on Salem, owned by Salem. And we bought that from those guys. I think they had three stations at the time. It wasn't worth anything, to tell you the truth, except the idea.
Right.
And how to make the idea work. And that's what we paid for. And when we brought that back, I pretty much managed the production side in the beginning, and Maurice managed the business side and the growth side to bring all the stations online. And we had a great business relationship through that, until we ended up selling that several years later to a gentleman, and he eventually sold it to Salem. So it's still there today. But that business relationship I developed him at that time was a piece of the foundation that our personal relationship grew from as well. So, I mean, Maurice is just, what can you say about Maurice?
Yeah.
He's an icon of the business. And, you know, I'm going to say something that some people may not like, but I'm telling you, it's a fact. Between what Maurice and Jerry were able to do with Singing News, I would give him more credit for, I won't say saving, that's a wrong word. I would say encouraging the growth of Southern gospel music in many different facets. You've got to give Maurice
a lot of credit for that.
No doubt. No doubt, Chris. Chris, you know, let me transfer back just a little bit, and then and it's going to tie into up front. Men are not supposed to be emotional. That's what we're taught when we're kids. Hey, we got to be da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, we got to be stern. We got to be this. We got to be that. You know, you're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to do that. But no doubt when you go through a change in life, you're emotional, okay? When was the point when you sat down at a concert or listened to a CD or something like that, and you recalled where you were and where you are now, and you said, man alive, there's a God in heaven. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Lord, I don't know why you put me on this trip, but you did. Thank you. And you really realize you're making an impact. Because, Chris, whether you believe it or not, and like you said, you're a very private man, okay? Folks, I do my homework. I hope you realize that before we did the interview. And you can't find a whole lot out there about Chris White. So this interview here is probably more than most people will ever get, okay? But no doubt you've touched. When I was talking to Becky a couple of weeks ago, I said, Becky, you've affected, if you've been doing bookings for 30 years, you've, in live audiences, 30 million people have heard your artist sing. No doubt 300 million people have heard your artist sing a gospel song via radio, CD, download, or something like that. Chris, have you ever just sat back and it just hit you? God, why me?
How about every other day?
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, yeah. And that's not a flimsy answer. It's a real answer in that. And sometimes, you know, I'm asked the question, whether it be, you know, standing on a sidewalk somewhere or in a radio or newspaper interview, whatever, I've been asked the stupid question of how does it feel to be who you are? And the reason I say that's a stupid question is, I'm only who I am, and I've only succeeded to do what I've done and affect all of these pieces of the business I've affected through all these years because God ordained me and allowed me and gave me the opportunities to do that. So if I ever think that watching an artist on stage move an audience in a way that moves me to tears, and I've done that many, many, many times, mm-hmm. if I think that is because of some great work I've done without it being God ordained, then I'm foolish. So I try to every day remember that without that blessing from him, all of my efforts to expose the artist, the music, the song, to penetrate somebody's heart with that lyric is only because he's allowed me through gifts and the tools he gave me to do that.
Wow.
So that's
what we wanted to hear. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we learn from that. Hey, you're in East Tennessee, you're from East Tennessee, so I'm assuming you bleed orange. Is that correct?
If you see where I'm sitting right now, there's orange all over this room. this is sort of my man cave I'm doing this interview from. And yes, my dad took me to my first game when I was 6 at Neyland Stadium. And at 6 years old, I was hooked. So yes, I'm a big Orange fan through and through. And it's been hard over the last 10 years to say that. But
you know what? I think Jeremy Pruitt's got you guys on the right track. I was hoping for a little bit. Yeah. I was hoping.
If you're a big Orange fan, you always, you never give up hope.
Well, you know what? I'm a Bulldog fan. Okay, so I've got to give you, I got to give you a little bit of a hard time. But you know, you've went through some transition through the past few years, and you know.
Well, I can start naming some hard times for you boys too.
Ray Goff, Jim Donnan, you know, we could, you know.
Go ahead.
You know what I'm saying? So anyway, I will tell you this right here, and you'll laugh at this, and you'll have to be the one to do this, okay? I asked Peg had she ever been to Neyland Stadium, and she said no, but I heard them people get very excited over there. So.
I'll tell you who is the biggest Tennessee fan in the world, and that's the Tallies.
Who's that? The Tallies?
The Tallies are diehard big Orange fans. Yep.
Diehard big Orange fans. Well, you know what? You're going to come around. You got a good coach in Jeremy Pruitt. Who's your favorite, real quick? Who's your favorite big Orange player of all time? Who do you just love?
Well, you always got to go back to Peyton because he's done so much for the university.
Yeah.
He's done so much for the brand of Tennessee, not only football, just for the University of Tennessee.
Yeah.
And you know what? Just a couple of weeks ago, my son, who is an Alabama fan, how that happened, don't even want to talk about.
Yeah.
Walked in the house with an autographed Peyton Manning football encased in this beautiful case.
Yeah.
And just blew me away. So that's part of what's sitting behind me in my man cave today. I've got his autographed helmet and an autographed football now from Peyton. So, yeah, he's been such a great ambassador for the university. Not only a great player, but a great ambassador for the university. So, yeah, I got to put him at the top.
Well, one thing all SEC fans, or two things all SEC fans can agree on, is we got the best conference in the country. So you folks in Ohio listening, I know you're turning your podcast off right now. But we do have the best conference in the country, and most of us will hope to pull the Braves through this World Series coming up. So
There you go.
Well, Chris, I know you're busy, my friend. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for your candor. Thank you for your witness, your testimony. Thank you for sharing with us your 9/11 moment. Oftentimes when people do these interviews where they say, well, we don't want any surprises, we focus on one subject. Like today we was focusing on change, and we don't know where that topic's going to go, but no doubt somebody somewhere is going to hear it, Chris, and get a blessing out of it. And thank you for taking the time to talk to us today, my friend.
You're welcome, Darren. Thanks for having me. I've enjoyed it. It's been fun. And yeah, I hope somebody along the way enjoys what we've talked about today and get something out of it.
Toccoa Falls College in Toccoa Falls, Georgia. Since 1907, TFC, glorifying God through seeking and developing leaders who will impact the world for Jesus Christ. More information on TFC, call 706-886-7299 or visit them online at tfc.edu. That's tfc.edu.
Now, here's our announcer,
and that's the Statesman's Leader.
What's that name?
Hobie Lister.
And thy crisper, flakier cracker, boys, what's that name?
Premium Saltine.
Ah, you said it, so let's sing it now.
They're better baked and better wrapped.
And you heard the music, the Statesman singing about saltine crackers, which made me think a little bit about chili for some reason. And if you think about great chili, you think about it all over the country, except if you're in Cincinnati and you get that skyline stuff. Jeff Turner. Jeff, how you doing, my friend?
Good, Darren. How are you?
Good. Have you ever ate, you ever been to Cincinnati?
I have.
Have you ate that Skyline chili?
I have, and I agree with you.
They put chocolate or sage or something in it.
Yeah.
And they'll put it over spaghetti noodles. I've noticed
Absolutely.
That. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes, sir.
It is rough. Hey, man, I know. How'd we get to talking about chili? I mean, they got good chili in St. Louis where you're at by chance?
Yes, sir. Good chili here.
Good chili there? All right.
Yeah, well, I make it. If I have to, I make it myself.
There you go. Well, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Talking a little bit about the record company today. You know, we got Chris White with Crossroads, Horizons, Sunlight, and Mountain Home Music on. Chris been an innovator in the music business. And, you know, the record business is always record, recording. Now, what do we call it? It's no longer the CD business. It's no longer the record business. It's no longer the I guess it's the recording industry, still how we define it, Jeff.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the history of it when it comes to gospel music.
Well, the first Southern Gospel Quartet to sign a contract with a major label was the Stamps Quartet with Victor Records in 1927. And we all know their famous theme song, Give the World a Smile. And then the Chuck Lang Gang signed with the Columbia Records in 1936. In 1949, Hobie Lister signed the newly formed Statesman Quartet with Capitol Records, which was quite a milestone considering that was considered a more of a secular label.
Yeah.
So,
you know, when you talk about Hovey, he was such an innovator. And, you know, change the industry so. And, you know, we play that commercial every show before you come on and talk about the saltine crackers. There's been a lot of great innovators, and it's a lot of it's came through the recording industry. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
No doubt. I mean, as we go through. Hey, you know what one big innovator had in common with me and you?
What's that?
A lot of people don't know this. Marvin Norcross. You remember that name?
Yes, sir. Canaan Records.
Canaan Records. Marvin was a huge baseball fan. Matter of fact, the state Little League championship field in Texas is named after Marvin. Pretty neat info, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
So he had a great impact, not only on gospel music, but on kids and outside of gospel music. That's a little bit of information you only find right here. Jeff, what you got planned this week, my friend? You know, NQC week's coming up next week, so we're going to be busy running in and out all times of the day and night up there. But what you got going on?
Well, we're just trying to keep up our Facebook page with the picture page, Southern Gospel Memories and Pictures. I'm posting a lot of never seen photos on there this week, so be sure and check it out and join if you haven't joined already.
Cool, my friend. That's right, Southern Gospel Memories and Pictures. Join that. I'm a member. You can send us messages. I even found a picture and sent you last week. What about that? I mean, it was somebody sent me a picture of the National Songwriters Convention or something like that, and we posted that up there. So got a lot of good comments on that. So it's a lot of good information, takes you down memory lane. Jeff, we appreciate it, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Hi, this is James and Reggie with Southern Gospel Point of View, and you're listening to the fastest growing podcast about Southern Gospel news and commentary
right here on SGNP, Southern Gospel News Podcast.
Great, great information on Chris White. Thanks, Jeff, for your input. One thing I enjoy about Chris, Arthur, is that he's an innovator, a trendsetter, a leader, a creator, and a pace setter in the Southern gospel music world. I mean, you know, it was him and Maurice that went out and bought that radio network out in California, brought it to Nashville, and started the Solid Gospel Network, which is now the Singing News Radio Network. It was, you know, Chris and Maurice's deal to begin with.
Yeah. Chris is, you know, he is always, I got to know Chris, you know, back when I was with the Kingsmen, didn't know him very well, you know, real well, just kind of acquaintance here and there. And we didn't, you know, work with him a whole lot, but some, you know, along the way. But he's always had his hand in our music and making sure that it continues to go forward and is successful. And, the Lord has blessed him and blessed his what he does and what he has done and blessed his faithfulness, and that's what I love about that.
I do too. Good man. And it's not what group works with him. It's what group hasn't worked with him in the past. That's what's kind of cool. From Kingsman to Gold City to the Isaacs to the Kingdom Heirs. I mean, man, you guys have been with him for since he started back in 1986.
The group has been with him. And I tell you, he has stuck with us through thick and thin. And, you know, at times that, you know, we didn't even know if we were going to be here next week. And he just stuck behind us and just helped us in every way that he could and was just a true friend.
I'll tell you something else a lot of people don't know. And he didn't mention this in this interview. But he himself is a songwriter, and he's wrote several top 40 hits himself. So
and several great songs through the years. Yes, he has.
Hey, coming up next week, the National Quartet Convention. Some people are making their first journey. Some people like you are making their 30th journey. Man, has it been 30 years for you? How many years have you been at National Quartet Convention, Arthur?
You know, it's been close to that. I guess it probably has been. Well, probably 31, I guess. I guess it has been.
During your brief stint out of the business, when you went back home to work with your dad.
Yep.
Did you go to the National Quartet Convention that year?
I did not. I missed that year. The following year I went.
Did you miss it?
I did.
Was it like something was going on that you were supposed to be a part of and you wasn't there?
Yeah.
That's funny. That is funny. So many good times. And this week, I'm going back for the first time since it's been in Pigeon Forge. I'll be there Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. into talking with folks and shaking hands and kissing babies and being a fan. And not that anybody wants me to kiss their baby or shake their hand, but I'll be there. And, you know, you're going to be – you'll be in a capacity – not that you won't be singing in that capacity, but I've got you something that you've never had before at the NQC. You know what that is?
What's that?
You've got media credentials.
Hey, how about that?
What about that, man?
I don't think I've ever had that before. That's pretty cool.
That'll get you a bottle of water, and you can go in the room and sit next to the big timers, you know. So
yeah.
like Paul Howe, you can sit next to Paul and be like Paul now and say, Paul, what I get to do now? You know, teach
Show me what to do.
Show me what to do. But we'll be up there. And Arthur, what we're going to do at SGMP, and Arthur's going to be busy, so I don't know how much time he'll be able to help us out, but we're just going to walk around Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. And on Tuesday, you'll get a special edition of SGMP, uncensored and raw from the National Quartet Convention, meaning we're just going to walk around the floor and talk to folks, Arthur. We're going to do that.
It'll be Tuesday night.
We're going to do that Wednesday night, and we're going to release one on Thursday. So Monday night, we'll walk around. We'll talk to folks. That tape will come out Tuesday. Tuesday, we're going to walk around. That'll come out Wednesday, we'll do it and come out Thursday. So it'll be a fun early part of the week. And there'll be a lot of other media outlets there covering a lot of other things. And we'll talk to everybody from yourself, Arthur Rice, to Maurice Templeton, to all kind of folks that promised us some time. So we'll have some good times up there in QC. What, for the first timer, Arthur, what should they expect?
You know, it's a little different at Pigeon Forge than it was in Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
Louisville was such a huge venue. That whole, just the grandeur of that building, the hugeness of it, almost felt it could be impersonal at times.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I like about Pigeon Forge is it's more down to earth. It's a little more, it feels more like it's at your house. You know what I mean? It's more relaxed. It's not quite as...
Dude, it is at your house.
Well, it is. True. That is true. Well, maybe that's why.
I'm messing with you. Now, do y'all take the week off from Dollywood, or are y'all singing daily at Dollywood?
Actually, we do. We take the week off, and, you know, because we've got so many things going on that it's... We have done that. The first year that it was here, we actually did Dollywood and NQC in the evening. And I'm telling you, by the end of the week, I was absolutely worn out from doing everything and just tired. We decided to take that week off, and so that we can, you know, devote our time to NQC, and it gives Dollywood a chance to kind of bring in, you know, during that week they bring in some other artists, and for the days that they're open, they're closed on Tuesday and Thursday, mm-hmm. Anyways, and then of course our Harvest Festival starts the following weekend, and so, or actually starts that Sunday, so. After NQC, so it goes right, you know, it rolls right into the biggest monthly
huge event. One thing that you're not too good at, Arthur, and I'm gonna give you a chance to do this, okay? You're not a huge self-promoter, okay, which is a blessing. You're a humble guy. Everybody I talk to in the industry will say that about Arthur Rice. But you're also the president. I want you to put your president's hat on for just a second, of the Southern Gospel Music Association and Hall of Fame, okay?
Okay.
Give a little spiel on how folks could help the Hall of Fame. We've never done this on here. I mean, we've mentioned it in the past, but just give us a little spiel on how folks could get involved and help the Hall of Fame.
Well, here is kind of the way that I look. You know, that is our past, and if we can't look at where we came from, we have no idea where we're going. And to be able to support the Hall of Fame and for the future generations coming on, it's kind of like the other day. I don't know if anybody's ever been through one of those pay it forward things. I was at McDonald's the other day, and I was in line in the drive-thru to get my food. And I pulled up, and the lady said, well, your food's already been taken care of. The car in front of you paid for it. And I thought, wow, how incredible that is. And so, you know what? I said, I'm going to pay for the car behind me. And so I did that. And I don't know how far it went or how long it went, but that's kind of what, you know, we're doing is my generation is paying it forward for the next generation. And if we don't support this thing and keep it going, the future of our children to know about this music and the message in the music and what it means, they won't have that. I feel very privileged that I had this history. And that I can walk into that museum and I can see some of the groups of old and hear some of the groups of old and I can see what they've done and how the Lord has used them. And it encourages me to keep on going. Yeah. And that's what I wanted. That's the legacy that I want to leave. I want to encourage the next generation coming on and so forth. If time goes on, we need to support this music, and that's our job to do.
You know, and you can learn so much about not only the music, but about individuals' lives at the Hall of Fame. I'll give you a prime example. Jeff Turner and I was talking about this earlier in the historical perspective when we were talking about record companies. And we mentioned Marvin Norcross as we were talking about that. And a lot of people don't know this. We mentioned it, but Marvin not only was huge in gospel music, but was a huge supporter of Little League Baseball. And there's a field that the Texas State Championship is named after him. So just some great little tidbits of information you can find out and all kind of stuff on everybody. You want to know about the Goodmans? Go read their plaque. You want to know about Hovey? Go read his plaque. You want to know about Jim Hamill? Go read his plaque. Bill and Gloria Gaither, they're all there. So thank you for giving that about the SGMA. And you know what? I'm going to challenge you this. Don't be shy about mentioning it anymore. Bring it up. Say, Darren, we ain't talked about the SGMA in a while. We need to bring it up and remind people that we need your support. Is that a deal?
That's a deal. I appreciate that.
No problem, my friend. Well, hey, we got to run and get out of here. I want to thank our guest today, Chris White, for being a part. We will see you next week. If you're at the National Quartet Convention and you see a guy walking around with a microphone and a scruffy beard, that's our producer, Jonathan. Just whack him upside the head and say, Jonathan, record me. You think they'd like it, Arthur?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And remember our phone number. We've got a new phone number. You can call and leave us a message. 615-763-3862. 615-763-3862. And as always, Arthur, got one question for you, my friend.
Yes, sir.
What's wrong with living right anyway?
Not a thing.
Hey, this is Tim Newton with SGNP, Southern Gospel News Podcast. We would love to have your group uploaded on our concert calendar page. Just simply email me at tnewton@bgadgroup.com to have all your concert and events promoted on our concert calendar page. This will be a huge boost in promoting your concerts and special events. Don't wait. Email me now at tnewton@bgadgroup.com and take advantage of this great opportunity. And hey, remember, what's wrong with living right anyway?
One night, one great concert. Paul Belcher Concerts presents a special Battle of Songs featuring the Spencer's Family Reunion. Saturday, October 13th, 6 p.m. at the Knoxville Civic Auditorium. You'll also hear the Cooks. The Primitive Quartet.
I have a place I can tell you about.
And the Kaufman. Free concert music from Knoxville's own Southern Gospel Quartet. Tickets on sale now. Call 800-745-3000 or at the Civic Auditorium box office. A Paul Belcher Battle of Songs exclusive with the Spencers, the Cooks, the Primitive Quartet, and the Kaufmans. Saturday, October 13th, 6 p.m. at the Knoxville Civic Auditorium. Get more details now at paulbelcherconcerts.com.
Gospel music's largest annual event, the National Quartet Convention, is returning to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. See the Hoppers, Greater Vision, the Mark Trammell Quartet, Jim Brady Trio, Triumphant, Kingdom Airs, Ernie Haasen Signature Sound, the Isaacs, Jason Crabb, the Gaither Vocal Band, and many more of your favorites all in one amazing week, all in one amazing place, the LeConte Convention Center in Pigeon Forge. Plus showcases including the Singing News Fan Awards, Gaither Homecoming Celebration, and Gerald Wolf's Hymn Sing, and speakers Dr. Robert Jeffress and Dr. David Jeremiah. The National Quartet Convention. See the entire schedule, get travel info including vacation packages and hotel information, and get your seats now at nqconline.com. That's nqconline.com. Or call 1-800-846-8499. That's 1-800-846-8499 for the National Quartet Convention 2018 at the LeConte Center in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, September 23rd through 29th. nqconline.com.
Paul Belcher Concerts Battle of Songs returns to the Memorial Auditorium in Chattanooga, Tennessee, Saturday, November 10th, 6:30 p.m. with the Hoppers.
Well, it's shouting high in the heaven, a sinner what's lost is found. It's shouting high in heaven.
The Triumphant Quartet.
Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace.
The Guardians.
Somebody pray.
And the Jordan Family Band.
My God is faithful.
Tickets on sale now. Call 800-745-3000 or at the Memorial Auditorium box office. The Hoppers, the Triumphant Quartet, the Guardians, and the Jordan Family Band. Saturday, November 10th, 6:30 p.m. at the Memorial Auditorium in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Get more details now at paulbelcherconcerts.com.
SGNP is excited you chose to listen today. If you'd kindly leave a remark and rating in the podcast remarks section, we surely would appreciate it. Please share with a friend or family member. Look for us on Facebook, Twitter, and our new website, SouthernGospelNewsPodcast.com. To advertise your products, services, concert event, or new project on SGNP and reach a 100% guaranteed number of people in your area, call Tim Newton at 770-874-3200 or email him today, tnewton@bgadgroup.com. Let us geo-target our ads for you, something radio nor magazine can do.
Hey, this is Darren Sutherland. Before I close, I want to thank our affiliates out there, WLJA in North Georgia, KWFC in Springdale, Arkansas, the new one, The Andrew Burnett Show, heard all across the country, and online, thelightatlanta.com, playing Southern gospel music online. We're adding affiliates every day. We're partnering with Ken and the folks over there at Gospel Music TV real soon, so we look forward to that partnership. If your gospel music entity would love to partner with SGMP, get a hold of us. It's real simple. Folks, here's the deal. We've reached out to literally every form of media in gospel music. If we've missed you, I'm sorry. But we've had great partnerships with folks like Paul Heil and others. If you haven't heard someone on the air, it's not because we hadn't reached out. We hope everyone is successful, no matter if they're a radio station, a magazine, a website, a group, whomever it is. God bless you, and let's make gospel music better than it was today, tomorrow. Easy enough?